Hello, everybody. I'm Johnny Calloway, and welcome to Says Who for the Addictive Personality. I am author of Dragons to Butterflies, The Metamorphosis of a Man, and The Bridge Where Souls Connect. And I'm here with my co-host, Aura Nadrich.
Hi, everybody. I am Aura, and I'm so happy to be here with you. I am a certified life coach, certified mindfulness meditation teacher, and the author of Says Who, How One Simple Question Can Change the Way You Think Forever, and the creator of the Says Who method for transforming negative and fear-based thoughts. And that's what we're going to help you do. We are going to help you transform those thoughts that get in the way of you creating the life that you want and deserve.
And on the show, we're going to be talking about the 12 steps, A Course in Miracles, and Aura Says Who method. The main thing we're going to talk about and how all three of those things work together is the power of thought and how your thought runs your life. It creates your life.
We are going to take these seven questions that I've created so that you can find out if your thoughts are real or if they're not, and if they're serving your well-being or if they're not. And by you sending us in your questions, we're going to be able to work with you directly so that we can help you use the Says Who method to change those thoughts out to make your life work.
Let's do it, Aura. Hello, everybody. This is Johnny Calloway, host of Morph Into a New You. We have with us on the show today Ms. Aura Nadrich, author of Says Who, and she has created an incredible method for changing your life just by changing your mind. That sounds easy. I know it's not, but we're going to try to simplify it for everybody. I'm going to give you a little history on myself right here. I grew up rough. I grew up without my mom. I thought I killed my mom. I grew up with a sexually confused, angry, alcoholic dad. I ended up having my own addictions and alcoholism and being diagnosed with several mental illnesses. But yet here I am today, author of three books, a podcast, and getting to have an incredible conversation with Ms. Aura Nadrich. Part of my healing process, a big part, has been through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous and other anonymous programs. And a big part has been through A Course in Miracles. Now, what Aura and I are going to do here is focus her process, which she will tell you about, to the addictive personality. So we're going to blend in my 12-step experience and my Course in Miracles experience, Aura's life experience and their process of Says Who, and we're going to focus that to the addictive personality, and we're hopefully going to change some lives and save some lives. So with that, I'm going to let Aura introduce herself, and we'll go from there.
Hi, Johnny. It's so great to be here with you today and to continue our conversation of transforming our thoughts so that we can create the lives that we so deserve. I am Aura Nadrich, and I am the author of Says Who, How One Simple Question Can Change the Way You Think Forever, and of the Says Who method. And my story is really pretty much a story of the journey of transformation and where my first Says Who moment happened, although I didn't know that that's what it was many years ago when I was not quite 15 years old. My sister, I'm the youngest of four, and I have two older sisters and an older brother who passed away. But one of my sisters, who I absolutely idolized and adored, had a nervous breakdown. And that almost sounds archaic in itself. Some people will say, what's a nervous breakdown? That means that when you literally can't cope with life anymore and you succumb to mental illness, whether it was a chemical imbalance, whether it was a series of events, I don't know really what the cause of it was, but I will tell you this, that one day my sister seemed to me to be perfectly normal. And then one day she was never the same and has never been the same since. And her illness really was quite tragic, first and foremost for her, because it set the course of her destiny. And it's a very sad one to say. And what it did with me is that it actually traumatized me. I was quite young. My personality, my persona, my psyche was forming and developing. And suddenly what appeared to be a pretty much of a perfect world was no longer the same. And what that did is it caused me to go into severe fight or flight. And when we go into fight or flight, we tell ourselves all sorts of things like, oh my God, I'm going to die. Oh my God, my life is over. Oh my God, fill in the blanks. You know, when we go into a heightened state of fear, we tell ourselves things and we feel very threatened. And that's what happened to me. And what thought that came to the foreground of my mind was, oh my God, this is going to happen to me. What happened to my sister will happen to me. I will go crazy like she did. So I want you just to follow that. I know this is quite a long story, and I'll try and make it as short as I can to get to the point of how that connected to Says Who in the book that I ultimately wrote, in that I told myself something out of fear. I told myself a thought that was born in my own mind, by the way, and that was that I am going to go crazy like my sister. Nobody told me that. There was no proof of that. There was no authority figure that introduced that thought to me. It was born out of fear. And what I did is I buried that thought. And it stayed buried in me for a very long time. And what I started to feel were the symptoms, what I call in Says Who, the side effects of a thought that we tell ourselves. And I started to experience deep anxiety, and I didn't know why. Fast forward, it took me on a very lengthy, very in-depth psycho-spiritual journey because I knew something was wrong and I wanted answers. I wanted to be able to know how to understand the working mind better. And because I was suffering so much, I knew that I needed help. And I got it. I went into Jungian analysis and I came very face-to-face with a lot of my fears and a lot of my anxiety and a lot of the shadow, which Carl Jung, the psychoanalyst, introduced that to the whole psychological framework, if you will, about that what is unknown to us, what is unconscious to us, can become our darkness. And that's what happened to me with my fear. And I came face to face with what I call this boogeyman thought, which was this thought that had tormented me for so long and had such power over me and basically was directing my life. And if I hadn't confronted that thought, I would still be at the effect of it till today. And I came to understand that that thought was born again out of fear and that that thought no longer had to control me and to pull me along like a dog on a leash. And I was free from that thought because I came to understand that I created it in my own mind and therefore I can change it and transform it. And that's exactly what I did. So fast forward many years later, became a certified life coach and certified mindfulness meditation teacher and wrote Says Who with this method, these seven questions to ask ourselves to find out if the thoughts that we hold in our mind are real or not.
Wow. So when I read your book after we first met on a show, I got excited about your process because it is simplified and it's deep at the same time. And what happened for me is I've done a lot of the work that you do in Says Who. I didn't have a method. I was all over the place going to this guy, going to that guy, going to this workshop, going to that workshop. But when I realized that all those things that I'd done over a number of like 25 years or more was simplified into something that could be done in a very short time, I got excited about the people it could help and the rapidity of how it could help them. So it also ties in for me everything that I've learned through the 12 steps and A Course in Miracles. A Course in Miracles is all about investigating your thought, which is, you use that term, I believe, repeatedly, investigate. Investigate that thought. Discover that belief system. I'm going to give you a couple of Course in Miracles quotes because they're very dear to my heart and they tie right into this. My favorite is, it says, you are much too tolerant of mind wandering. and you are passively condoning your mind's miscreations. Because we take a thought and we assume it is real without ever really looking into the insanity of it. And your process. I mean, as a child, as a very small child, 5 years old, I heard boys do what their dads do. Well, my dad was an alcoholic. So I locked into that. I'm going to be an alcoholic. Bobby's dad's a carpenter. Bobby's going to be a carpenter. And I never investigated. Is there any truth to that? Do I have to believe that? Which is what your process does.
Right.
So when we can take this to the other addicts, to the other alcoholics, no matter what the addiction is, when we take this to them, we can speed up their process. A big part of the 12 steps, and I don't want to get too rushed here, but I also want to open up for you more. But a big part of the 12-step process is a personal inventory. It's mentioned in two different steps. Unfortunately, most of what we do in that inventory is we inventory the actions. Like, I robbed this guy. I robbed that guy. I stole from my mom. I was crashing cars. I was quitting jobs. We investigate and inventory the action. Your process takes that to the part that will actually help us heal, and that is, what thought, what belief system drove that action? So then we're going beyond the symptom, which is the act, to the root cause of what prompted the act.
Absolutely. Definitely. You got to get to the root of the problem. There's so many layers upon layers upon layers is to, you know, what covers up the original wound, the cause, the belief. You know, we move so far away from the original matter at hand that we don't even know sometimes how to find it. That's why the investigation, the inquiry, not to accept what we tell ourselves so readily. You know, and you know, you bring up, we have something in common. You talk about at 5 years old, my God, you're this innocent being who doesn't even have the wherewithal or the capacity to stand up to something that is bigger than you. It's purely born out of innocence. What happened to me happened at a time where I didn't even know to question the very thought that I was telling myself. And that sets it into motion. And that we live at the effect of the thought that we have told ourselves or someone has told us, because I mentioned that in Says Who. Sometimes we can live out something that we took on about someone else's belief or someone else's thought. And we don't get to the core, again, to use your word, the root. You must go to the root, the source, the origin, the cause, not the action. The action is the result of the cause.
I wish people could see me right now, because I'm holding up both thumbs, because that's exactly it. Right? I have said for years, because it's real to me, it's almost a mathematical equation in my mind. My thought creates my belief system. My belief system creates my feeling. My feeling creates my behavior. So if I can change the thought, I'll change the belief system. I'll change the feeling. The result is I've changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
By changing my thought, I change my life.
Right. It's connecting those dots. You know, now for somebody hearing that, Johnny, that may sound very simplistic. Okay, change your thought, change your life. Well, there's a huge thing in between that. But these are the steps that we begin to take that we start to see the results. That's why I talk about in Says Who, release and replace. The thoughts or the things that we tell ourselves that are negative and they're harsh and they're critical and they're abrasive and they're abusive and they're diminishing. If we can start with just that, because everybody has to find their own starting point. It's different for all of us, that we can begin by catching the very first thought that comes up that wants to pull us down, that wants to make us feel bad, that wants to throw us under the bus, basically, and say, okay, I caught it. I get it. I see how this works. I tell myself something rather than to challenge it, rather than to confront it, rather than to know that I am that powerful that I can change it. I succumb to it without even believing that I'm that powerful that I can change it. It's happening in my own mind. I created it. I can change it. So by just even having that understanding of self, just knowing who we are and how our thinking process works, that we have a say in the matter, that it's not something outside there, it's in here. It's something that we can work on within ourselves, and it's amazing and it's powerful. That's what I want people to know. I know that it can be sort of hard to wrap your mind around change of thought, change my life, until you start to experience what that feels like. What does that look like? How does that make you feel when you literally have taken a thought and you've transformed it from I'm worthless to I'm worthy? And how did that make you feel to even say that to yourself? I am worthy. Try that on for size. Try the difference in feeling what it feels like in your being, in your body, to say, I'm worthless. What does that feel like to saying, I'm worthy? And what does that feel like? You know, I want people to really have this experience. That's why the Says Who method, to be able to know that you can question, use your word, investigate, to have an inquiry, and to have a say in what you think. Because you're that powerful. And I say and Says Who, you are the creator and master of your internal dialogue, which creates your reality. Connect the dots. There's a thread here.
I love it. I really love it. When I realized that my thinking, I used to feel powerless even over my thinking. And it was totally powerless over my thinking. And I had a belief that went with my thinking that if I thought it, it's real. If I thought it, I need to act on it. Well, the beginning of my turnaround, so to speak, was when I got into the 12 steps, they said, think it through. When you think about picking up a drink or a drug, think it through. Think it through to actually ending up in jail or actually ending up in the streets. I did not know how to do that. Prior to that, I had thoughts that were followed by event. No thought process, no possible consequences. So, in A Course in Miracles, it says this is a course in mind training. Mm-hmm. Now, your process simplifies the training process of my thought process. Mm-hmm. So I am not a victim to my mind. I always thought I was. I didn't think of it in that terminology, but it's like, oh my God, how do I stop that thinking? Well, it's like exercising your bicep. You have to exercise it. So if you want it to be stronger, you have to exercise. If I want my mind to be more positive, I have to exercise more positive thinking. I have to look at an inventory, to use the 12-step term. I have to inventory, what am I thinking? So,
yeah, exactly. But, you know, when you describe the impulse to pick up a drink and not thinking it through, even if we just went with the thought alone and to understand how we can create these amazing thoughts in our mind that start to become beliefs, they start to become a part of our core beliefs. You know, you and I speak a lot about, well, I didn't know that I could do that. Once you introduce the concept that you can, that's when the fun begins, because then you can see how you can start to change your thoughts. So if you said to yourself something like, I am more powerful than this drink, or this drink that I'm about to drink does not have power over me, so therefore I don't have to feel powerless and succumb to it. You know, there's a lot of things. I'm just playing around with some things that we can say to ourselves. I find that very exciting to know. Now, listen, with all due respect to feeling powerless, to feeling that you have this impulse to succumb to something that feels like it has a hold over you. But if you start to change your thinking around it and say, hey, you know what? I'm powerful. I have power over it. It doesn't have power over me. That's a thought that you're telling yourself. And when we start to repeat those thoughts, they become our beliefs. They become our core beliefs. And what we start to feel, when I talked earlier about what you start to experience, this is experiential, that you start to feel through that strength of mind that you are not powerless. If you believe you're powerless, then you will remain powerless. And this is a gradual process. It doesn't happen overnight. This is what we do to build up our biceps. This is what we do to become healthy, mind, body, and spirit. It's a discipline. It's a practice. One step at a time.
Yes.
And one step at a time.
You know, the first step of the 12 steps is we admitted we were powerless over, fill in the blank, whatever you're powerless over, and that our lives have become unmanageable. I heard an old guy say in one of my 12-step meetings back in the beginning, he said, this is a program that we come to powerless to rediscover our power. Because that's what we do when we go. Now, I wouldn't tell anybody in a 12-step, in say an AA meeting, I wouldn't tell anybody, okay, you have power over alcohol now, you can go drink whatever you want. I wouldn't do that. Why would you play with that? That's not a risk I want to take even myself today. But the thing is, by taking my power back, I no longer want to. I don't need to take that risk. I don't need to explore that. I had a friend tell me after I'd been off of the stuff for about 3 or 4 years, he said, well, don't you ever feel like taking an experiment? I said, I think I've had enough. I think I've had enough experiments. But what I do experiment with all the time, and dragons to butterflies is kind of the proof in the pudding for me, is I ask myself, can you write a book? Well, let's see. Let's put pen to paper or fingers to the keyboard and let's see. So I take those, I call them spiritual adventures.
When, I like that.
When I step outside, I don't want to jump out of a tree or a perfectly good plane, but I will jump into a minute. In a minute, I will jump into like, what's that feel like to take that risk of like, can I write a book? Can I talk to someone? Can I do a podcast? Those to me, because they exercise my being, my source, those to me are spiritual adventures. And I get to like, yeah, look, I can do it. I didn't think I could do this. Look, I can do it.
Right, exactly. And when we discover that about ourselves, you know, which is really, I want to say taking the power back, whatever your own personal power feels like for you, whether you lost it along the way, whether you gave it away, whether you told yourself that you were something like you described as a child, it was easy for you to say, well, you're going to be just like your father. And that's giving the power to the identity of your father. You didn't know that at 5 years old. We learn. Life is about this learning. This is a journey. It's an ongoing discovery of learning about who we are. That's why I really say to people, don't be so hard on yourself. Stop beating yourself up so badly. We are all learning. We're evolving. This is the quest for becoming more awake and more self-realized, and to find out, to give yourself that opportunity, like you said, Johnny, let me try this. Let me try to do a podcast. Let me try and paint a painting. I'm not a painter, but I don't have to tell myself that to limit myself from trying. And then in the trying, I'm suddenly doing something that I never thought was possible. And it feels amazing.
And there are volume after volume after volume of books that support this thought that we're talking about, the power of thought. And every time I've spoken with you, this thought has come to mind. I don't think I've ever said it before, but in Richard Bach's book, Illusions, he said, and I love this, argue your limitations and sure enough, they're yours. And I listen to people all the time argue about what they can't do.
Right.
And in so doing, they make it so.
That's right.
When I started to write my first book, Taming the Dragon, nobody said this to me. I made it real. I made it up for myself because I never finished high school, traditional high school. I took a GED. So my mind said to me throughout the entire writing process, you don't even have a high school education. What makes you think you can write a book? So, and I bought that, fortunately, not totally, because I went ahead and wrote it anyway and published it. But those lies, sometimes we just make them up. Nobody has to say it to us. We just make it up. Yeah. As a five-year-old, I made up in my mind that I killed my mom because I didn't kiss her and then she died. So me not kissing my mom was the same thing as taking a gun to her head. Nobody told me that.
Yeah.
I just made it up, just fabricated it.
That's right.
And I think it ties back in, this is a personal part of this for me, to what you were talking about earlier, the shadow self. The shadow self is looking for every opportunity it can to take us down that rabbit hole. And if we don't investigate it, we'll let that shadow side run our entire life until we start looking into, wow, is that really so? My dad drank, so I have to. My dad was violent, so I have to be. If we don't investigate that, we let that shadow take over.
And right. It's needing to shine a light on. You got to shine the light on it. Do you know the shadow is a shadow because it needs light shined on it?
Right.
It's not knowing those unconscious aspects of ourselves. You want to make the unconscious conscious. You want to make it known to you. You want to go in there and do the very thing you just said.
Right. And what's really cool is somebody said to me once, Johnny, what happens in a darkened room when you turn on the light? It just goes away. The dark just goes away. Shine a light on it. It just goes away. You don't have to do anything. Just turn the light on.
So right. And what are you going to say to yourself, John? You're going to say, oh, hey, the light's on. Oh, wait a minute. I need to go back and find the darkness. I mean, that's who, right? I mean, seriously, and the mind loops like that. You know, it's like I have something in my book called the Something to Worry About Thoughts. Somebody who worked with the Says Who method with me said, you know, Aura, I went like a couple of hours of not thinking something negative and not worrying. And I was like, what's wrong? You know, I haven't worried in 3 hours. I'm not, you know, we're so used to going into these automatic, reminds me of your story of like the lights came on. Are you going to say to somebody, oh, this is so great. Oh my God. Now there's light. I think I need to return to the darkness.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, turn the lights on.
But we need to bring this into part of where this show is going to go with us in the future. So we're going to focus on how to use your process with the addicted mind. And you just made such a perfect segue, because what happens with the addicted mind? Most addicted people live in chaos and drama all the time. My thought is it is just as difficult for an addict, a drug addict. I'm going to focus on that one for a moment. It is just as difficult to break the habit of the lifestyle as it is to break the habit of doing the drug. Because the drama produces adrenaline. And so when you turn on the light, which is what led me into this, when you turn on the light and the dark is no longer there, who am I? What am I?
Right.
Wow. Where do I go from here? I remember for myself, when I first got into my 12-step process, people were talking about peace and tranquility and serenity, and what I heard was boring. I'm going to spend the rest of my life sitting in the floor with my legs crossed and my hands folded, going, that sounds really boring. I really like running to the window every time a car drives by to see who's coming to get me.
Right.
So. Yeah. If we can ask people, who told you that serenity, that peace would be boring?
Right. And I let me just jump in to that. When you said, I want to know what it feels like to write a book. I want to know what it feels like to have a podcast. You know, suddenly serenity doesn't mean you have to be in the lotus position chanting Om for the rest of your life to feel that you've reached serenity. That's all relative. Although I really encourage people to sit quietly and start to be able to be comfortable with their inner stillness. And I tell them, you know what? You're going to like it. Now, do you have to do it 24/7? Do you have to go live on a mountaintop like a monk? No, you don't. But you want to live a balanced whole life. So switching out one for the other, giving up high drama and chaos and adrenaline rushes, there's other ways to get high.
Right.
You know, feeling high, you know, sometimes what I want to say about this is like, wait, when you get a taste of what it means to start to create your thoughts, to manifest what you want, you're going to feel a high like you've never felt before. Right. You're going to feel the high of what it means to be so powerful that you can literally carve out your destiny. Does that sound high? Because that seems pretty high to me.
Yeah, that is high. That is high. And that's the high that I live in today. Because I am constantly, I mean, I don't want to put you up on a pedestal, but here's the thing for me. I am sitting in my living room, actually my office, in Sarasota, Florida, having a conversation with Aura freaking Nadridge. It's like there was a time that was not a possibility for me. I had the good fortune of listening to Brendon Burchard a while back at the Hay House I Can Do It conference. One of the things he said, which his talk was so powerful, but he said, you got to dream beyond the dreams you
have. Yes.
Because when I was a small boy growing up in Mayfield, Kentucky, in a single wide trailer with a violent dad, I couldn't have dreamed of what I'm doing right now. That was not a possibility. The dream that I could have is holding a 40-hour job.
Right.
That was it.
Right.
That was it.
Right.
Now I've written 3 books. I have a podcast, and I own an air conditioning company.
It's amazing.
I couldn't have dreamed of that when as a child, the only dream I could have was, well, maybe someday I'll get to work on air conditioners.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someday I'll get to read a book, much less write one.
Yeah. So
the process of opening my mind up to the power of my mind.
Yes. Yes.
Is incredible.
Yes.
There's a line in A Course in Miracles, and I probably won't quote this perfectly, but it says, I am responsible for what I see. I am responsible for the feelings I experience, the goals I would achieve, and whatever seems to happen to me, I have asked for. Now, that threatens the crap out of a lot of people. It excites me because for me, it excited me the first time I heard it, because if my mind can create the mess that I'm in, my mind can correct it.
Yes. And, you know, Johnny, I'm as excited about your words as you are about mine, because, you know, to me, the potential and the possibilities of what we can create as human beings excites me. I'm as excited about the possibilities as you are. I'm excited about as much as I've done up to this point and how much more is possible. And I want people to discover that about themselves, that can happen for you today. I mean, yes, when we were younger, we didn't know this. And it's part of the life journey. We come to know what we know when we're ready to know it.
Right.
And then it begins. And this excitement doesn't ever have to stop.
No. We were talking before the show started. What's your show that you do on Sundays?
Well, once a month I have Sacred Sundays, which is a salon that I have with a guest speaker, an influencer, a thought leader. And then every Sunday I have The Journey Within, which is my weekly class that I teach, which is part talk and part meditation.
So where I was going with that, before we started the show today, you and I were talking about the possibility of me coming out there for that. That wasn't part of my dream. That wasn't part of my dream. So I opened myself up to whatever. I went to a thing called Lifted from the Rut, an addictions conference out in Littleton, Colorado, and I met Aaron Huey, who I hope will be on our show here with us at some point.
Great.
Now then, next spring, I'm supposed to go out there to his facility. He has a teen residential center. I'm supposed to go out there, build them a butterfly garden, and talk to those children.
Oh, that is so beautiful. You're going to make me cry, Johnny.
I was just thinking. I could cry just even thinking of that.
You're going to make me cry right now on this show. That is so beautiful. And, you know, I just want to tell you, the metaphor, your butterfly metaphor, is so beautiful. It is so beautiful. And that lives in each and every one of us.
Each and every one of us. And we are all in the chrysalis.
Yes.
I'm going to say becoming the butterfly. I just have a difficult time saying I'm already a butterfly. But I am. You are. We all are. We all are. We just got to peel more of the chrysalis away. Truth is, I look at my life today and I think about who I was and where I've been. I'm flying, man. I am flying. And it's exciting.
Yes.
So unfortunately, as part of this show, I have to be the clock watcher.
Okay, I'm glad somebody is.
what I need to do right now is bring this in. I want you to give us a rundown of the 7 questions in the Says Who method. And I want everybody to know that ends up hearing the show, and I hope thousands of people hear the show, what Ora and I are going to accomplish here, not what we're hoping to accomplish, we're going to accomplish this. We're going to simplify this process for the addictive personality so you can start seeing the lies that you've been living by. Lies that you have been living by. You have sworn by them. Once an addict, always an addict. Now, I don't ever want to tell somebody that if you've been a heroin abuser, I don't want to say, okay, now then you can successfully go out and use, shoot dope. I don't want to do that. But what I do want to do is I want to say, just because you've been a heroin abuser doesn't mean you have to always be a heroin abuser.
Right, just to introduce these new ideas, these new possibilities. They don't have to be so black and white. They don't have to be so extreme. You want to ease into the possibility of starting to think differently and having a different take on a belief that has had held you captive for so long that you've been a slave to it.
Right, and these questions in your process, the recovery process, even in the 12 steps, are about a spiritual connection to your source and to the people around you. Now, here's the reality as far as anybody getting frightened by the idea of, like, I don't have to be an addict. The thing is, once you get spiritually connected, once you get connected to your source and you're truly connected to the people around you, you're not going to want to use dope. That's not going to be an issue. Because you're going to be, as Earl was speaking about earlier, you're going to be high on what's going on in your life and where you're going. You don't need an outside substance to give you that buzz.
Yes.
I stay high. And I haven't used dope in a long time.
I know. And I know, again, with all due respect to anyone who's listening that doesn't really know what that means or what that feels like, and you're hearing two people that are so enthusiastic about the high, the divine high of existence, about being alive and breathing and having this gift of being alive and all the possibilities of what we can do that you and I shared about our personal lives. It is a high that is higher beyond anything you've experienced before. You know, I want people to understand that yes, maybe you know the high, or maybe that high that was a high for you that I don't understand. I'm inviting you to come into a high that maybe right now at this moment in time, you don't know exactly what that is, but trust that if you say yes and you walk through that door, you might discover this most amazing high that you never, ever experienced before.
I cannot tell you how high I was when I got my first sample copy of Dragons to Butterflies in the mail. I've never got that high shooting dope. I never got that. And it's a lasting high. I have in my office, you can't see it, but in my office, I have posters, big banners, actually, of all three of my covers of my books. And whenever I start doubting, I'm like, wow, I did that. Oh, and I did that. Oh, yes. Okay. So, okay, we need to go through those seven questions. And I just want to say one more little thing about the possibilities. 34 years ago, I was walking the streets of Sarasota in a size 9 blue flip-flop and a 10.5 red one. And those were the only shoes I owned. I had on one pair of pants, and they were the only pants I owned. Today, I have a closet with about 6 or 7 pairs of shoes in them. They're all the same size, and they're all the same color. And I could go on about the clothes I have and this other stuff, doing this show. Anything is possible for you. Just don't give up. Okay, Ora, tell us the questions.
No, don't give up. Don't give up. Says who? The first question. Says who? Who is saying this thought in my mind? Who is telling me that I'm unworthy? Who is telling me that I'm unlovable? Who is telling me that I'm an addict? Who is telling me that I'm a loser? Who is telling me that I will never amount to anything? Who is saying this thought in my mind? That is a huge first step to take to really own what we tell ourselves. I am telling myself that I am this, that, or whatever you're telling yourself. And that by owning this thought, by not deflecting it and pushing it away and denying it and pretending that I'm not having it, I am meeting this thought face to face and I am ready to change it. That's like a commitment. It's like saying yes to the first question of changing your beliefs that cause you so much suffering. Second question, have I heard someone say this thought before? So many of the thoughts or beliefs that we hold today did not even originate with us. They started long ago, most often in childhood, like what you described, Johnny, whether it's of your own making or you heard somebody tell you, you're never going to amount to anything. You're going to be an alcoholic just like your father and his father before that and his father before that and all the fathers before that told to you, and that you took that thought on as your own, which you did about yourself. That did maybe not belong to you. It belonged to somebody else. And you took it on as real and you continue to believe it. The third question, does this thought make me feel better? What is it about your negative thought that makes you feel better? These are very logical questions to ask yourself. Does telling yourself you're a loser make you feel better? Does telling yourself that you're worthless make you feel better? Does telling yourself that you're never going to amount to anything make you feel better? What we know about positive thoughts that we tell ourselves, they make us feel better. And what we know about negative thoughts, they do not make us feel better. We've just grown accustomed to feeling bad about ourselves. Fourth question, do I like this thought? What is it about your negative thought that you like? Do you like telling yourself that you are worthless? Do you like telling yourself that you should be dead and aren't worth living? Do you like telling yourself that you're never going to be worthy of love? Do you like the thought that you're just a total loser and you're never going to amount to anything in your life? Do you like those thoughts? Be honest with yourself. Ask yourself, what is it about that thought that I even like? And that you continue to allow for thinking thoughts that you don't even like. Fifth question, does this thought work for me? What is it about your negative thought that's working for you? How is telling yourself that you are worthless working for you? Is it helping you get ahead? Is it helping you write a book? Did you telling yourself, Johnny, that you are worthless, would that have been a thought that would have helped you write your book?
No.
The thought that would help you write a book is that I can do this and I will. And any negative thought that wants to come in and trip you up and sabotage you and tell you, hey, you know what? No, you can't. You can't write that book. The way we transform those thoughts is we introduce a new thought that says, step aside, negative thought. I have no use for you. And the thought that I will tell myself from this moment on is, I can do that. So ask yourself how your negative thoughts are working for you, because I'm sure they're not. Sixth question, does this thought have control over me? So many of our negative thoughts that we tell ourselves feel like they have control over us because we've allowed them to have control over us. We've given the power away to a negative, berating, critical, sabotaging thought to have power over us, when in fact, it is our mind and we have power over our thoughts because we are creating them. So it may feel like it has power over you, but you have power over it. And the final question, do I want to keep this thought or let it go? That becomes the final question, that when you can ask yourself, do I like this thought? Does it make me feel better? Does this thought work for me? Does this thought work favorably for my well-being? If you can answer no, this thought does not make me feel better, does not work for me, does not support my well-being, I don't want to have it to have power over me, you can finally answer that last question with a definitive yes, I am ready to let this thought go.
Wow. Wow. And in the process, the summation kind of all of this, what we're doing for me, what it does is it changes my inner dialogue. It changes what I say to myself, which changes how I think, which changes what I do. And then my life has changed. And it's really powerful. Aura, what I'm going to say for all the listeners is that if you go to johnnycalloway.com, or you can go to morphintonewyou.com, you can get all the contact info for me or for Aura, and you'll find the schedule of the future shows that we're going to do about using the Says Who method for the addictive personality. Or do you want anything to that?
I am so looking forward to continuing this conversation, Johnny, and really encourage people to know not to give up and that they can change their thoughts to support believing in themselves, to experience what you and I have been talking about, how to really recognize their worth, their power, and all of the things that are possible from this day forward.
I am so excited about what we're doing and what we're going to do and the people that are going to be helped. It makes everything I've ever done feel worthwhile. Everything. So I want to invite everybody. First off, I want to thank everybody for showing up, for listening today. And I want to invite everybody to please come back. Invite your friends. We will be airing a new show every Thursday or Friday. And please come back and please tell your friends. Thank you. Okay, everybody, thanks for listening. Remember, never give up. Always keep it real and take time to smell the roses. And please sit down and watch a butterfly. Keep up with all that we are doing by going to morphintoanewyou.com. Thank you very much.